Tonight's shiur, Parshas Ki Tse'etze, begins the new series of shiurim. The parsha starts out with the inyan of the Eishes Yefas Tor. The famous Rashi says, Lo dibra Torah ela keneged Yetzer Hara, that the Torah is speaking here against the Yetzer Hara. How so? Shimeina Kodesh Baruch Hu Matira Yaseinim Be'eser. Because Hashem knew that if a person would not be allowed, he has his taiva for this woman, this goyish woman, captivity, if he wouldn't be allowed to take her better, he'd take her biser. Therefore, the Torah allows such a thing. We have three questions here. First of all, the whole concept is difficult. What is this? This person has his taiva to do something which is wrong. The Torah doesn't look at it very positive, as we'll see later on, that what comes out from somebody who marries an Eishes Yefas Tor. And sometimes it's goyish, a woman, okay, she goes through the conversion process, but the whole thing is a disgusting thing. And what? The person says, okay, he has a taiva. Says the Torah, oh, you have a taiva, you won't be allowed. Okay, so it's mutter. Where do we say, what kind of a thing is that? No, the Torah just says it's aser, like I said, for everything else, and say, then don't do it. I have a taiva for it, it doesn't matter, don't do it. Oh, but you'll do it anyways. Do it anyways, but you're not supposed to do it. Like any, we don't find that by anything else. The Torah says, this is us, or it's us, or I. It's hard for me, it's difficult. Okay, you have to control yourself. Finish. Not, well, it's hard for you, okay, so it's mutter. A very strange thing. Secondly, the Lashon over here, Rashi brings down, Lo dibra Torah ela keneged Yetzer Hara. Keneged, what does that mean? Against. The Torah here is speaking against the Yetzer Hara. The Torah here is not speaking against the Yetzer Hara. The Torah is speaking for the Yetzer Hara. Meaning, the Yetzer Hara wants this guy to marry this woman. And what does the Torah say? Okay, go ahead. So it's not going against the Yetzer Hara. It's going for the Yetzer Hara. We're siding with the Yetzer Hara this time. And thirdly, why does it have to say, Lo dibra Torah ela keneged Yetzer Hara? Now it's lo ela. I mean, it's not this and not something only against the Yetzer Hara. Could have just said, dibra Torah neged Yetzer Hara. Why do you have to say lo dibra ella? I mean, not only, it's only against the Yetzer Hara, as opposed to what? So various answers. I'd like to share with you the Sif Se Kohen, one of the Talmidim of the Arizal. And he says, nice word, he says, as we know, the Yetzer Hara, how does it work? It works whenever there's an Isser. Something's wrong, something you're not allowed to do. That's what the Yetzer Hara jumps in. What he wants you to do, wants you to do what's wrong. There's an Isser, oh, comes the Yetzer Hara. Something which is nothing wrong with it, something's mutter, Yetzer Hara leaves you alone, who cares? He's not interested, he wants you to do things that are bad. So we say, Maim Gnuvim Himtaku, right? Regular water, not a problem. Stolen water becomes sweet. Why? They're all stolen water. That's what Yetzer Hara wants you to drink it, so therefore all of a sudden it becomes sweet. He gives you all these images of what it'd be like to have this water, because it's kind of stolen. When something Isser, Yetzer Hara wants you to go there. Okay, also famous the Hazal, Gedola Mitzuva Veyose, Miena Mitzuva Veyose. Somebody is commanded to do something, is I guess greater schar than somebody who doesn't command. Why? Because of the Tosus, because of this. The Yetzer Hara. Oh, it's a commandment? The Yetzer Hara jumps in. No, no, don't do it, don't do it. Right? Something the Torah wants you to do, or doesn't want you to do, that's where the Yetzer Hara jumps in. So Mele, this is like this. What's the Torah doing over here? The Torah is doing, perhaps we can call it like reverse psychology. In other words, Torah knows if it is. Since a person has such a taiva for this woman, if the Torah is going to say, don't do it, oh, don't do it. The Yetzer is going to really be, oh yeah, okay, the Yetzer is going to get involved and say, oh, he's, do it, do it, do it. Push him, push him, push him. And therefore, Torah says, okay, we're going to use reverse psychology over here. And that is, we're going to say, it's mutter. It's mutter. Now what? Now the Yetzer is, mutter? Okay, I'm leaving. Right? I only go where there's Isser. I want the person to do the Isser. If it's mutter, no need me, forget it, goodbye. Right? It reminds me like we, you know, with the kids, you know, my grandchildren, you know, we want to do something, you tell them, you want to put the toys in the toy chest. You know, he said, no, I'm not going to do it. So what do? You say, I'm not going to let you put those toys in the toy chest. No, don't put the toys in the toy chest. Oh yeah, and he puts them in. Reverse psychology. Right? Same thing over here. Says the Torah, if I know if I'm going to say, don't marry this woman, and say, I can't, I'm going to have to marry the Yetzer Hara is going to get. So how do we fight the Yetzer Hara here? Say, okay, it's mutter. Mutter? Says Yetzer Hara, okay, forget it. Okay, goodbye. Takes away the time. Mele, this is the technique, so the person dafka shouldn't marry the Yetzer Hara. Marry the Yetzer Safash Torah. How? By saying it's mutter, because then there's that takes away the Yetzer Hara. Mele, that's the idea over here. And we said, what is a strange thing? You know, why can we? Why are we saying, yeah, it's, guy's a tithe, it's okay. Well, how would the Torah allow such a thing? Levick, that's how you make sure the guy doesn't do it. And by saying he can, it's mutter, now there's no more Yetzer Hara, so he's not going to do it. Mimela, that's lo di bre Torah. We ask, why is it kenega the Yetzer Hara? It's not kenega, it's for the Yetzer Hara. We're allowing him to marry. No, that's kenega the Yetzer Hara. Dafka. Because the Yetzer Hara works with his Yetzer. So how do we take away the Yetzer Hara and go against the Yetzer Hara? Say, okay, it's mutter. So now there's no more Yetzer Hara. So it's kenega the Yetzer Hara. And Mele, that's lo dibra ella, we ask. Why? Lo dibra ella means only against the Yetzer, not as opposed to what? Meaning we're only dealing with the Yetzer, not the person. The person we're not dealing with. He can do what he wants. In the end, he's probably not going to marry her. Why? Because there's no Yetzer. The whole thing is only connected to the Yetzer. We're only dealing with the Yetzer over here. To mavatal him. How so? By allowing this through. The continuation of this Rashi, we learned a lesson in Musar. Right, Rashi continues and says that if Lamaisa you do marry her, Avalim Nasa, Sofa Liyot Sona, you're gonna hate her, as it says, Kidyan Aliish Vahule, Vesofa Lalid Memenu Ben Sora Mora, that's Nismechu Parsha Salom. So we see from here, Ali Musar say that this is the way the Yetzer Hara works, you know. It starts off, person thinks, well, if I only had this, I'll be the happiest person in the world. You have a time. Oh, just give me this thing and I'll be the happiest person. What happens? Same thing here. Prince thinks, whoa, just give me this woman, you know, this beautiful woman. Oh, I'll be the, oh, whoa, that'll make my life. That's it. Everything will be great. I'll be ecstatic. Just give me this woman. So it's, what do we see from here? Yeah. What happens? Fine. Take the woman. What happens in the end? Hates her. Ben Sor Mor, what's a Ben Sor Mor? We'll see a little bit later on, right? A kid, he's stubborn and rebellious. He eats, he drinks, he steals his parents' money. He ends up going out onto the streets and to molest them as a brias and steals from him. He turns into a murderer, right? Tremendous Yiddish anachas, you know, you're getting from this kid. What? You thought when you take this woman, that's it, I'm going to be the happiest person in the world. And in the end, you're the saddest person in the world. So that's the answer. That's the answer. Right, that's what timers are all about. You think that this you'll be happy, and in the end, one thing leads to another, and the opposite is true. So Maisa, the daughter of the Chasam Sofer, Chasam Sofer had a daughter who was Gittel, and she was known for her piety. She was they used to compare her to be on the same level as her brother, the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer. Anyways, as it happened, she was a very attractive woman, and as a result, she was a tznius woman. But she made a point that she would not go out of the house, you know, in public, unless it was amish 100% necessary, right? Because she didn't want to attract attention, etc. The story goes that one day she whatever had to go out and takes care of some things. And sure enough, she was out on the street, and some guy looks at her and sees, you know, this is a beautiful woman, and starts, you know, wants to look at her. So she notices him, and she starts to, you know, like run away, tries to get away from this guy. But the more she tries to get away, like we said, the Yetzer Hara works, you know, and he wants more, you know. She's running away, and she's running after her, trying to look at her, catch another glimpse or whatever. And it just destroyed her. She couldn't believe it. So she quickly, you know, as soon as she can, she gets home, and she starts crying, and she grabs her father, the Chasam Sofer's Tillim book, and she's sitting in the corner, crying her eyes out, saying Tillim, and crying, whatever. So her father, Chasam Sofer, comes in, and sees her daughter, you know, in tears, bitter tears, and crying. So what's going on? He asks her, my daughter, what's going on? What happened? So she says, listen, I can't take it anymore. You know, Hashem gave me this beauty, but it's working against me. It's working against me. I'm attracting attention to people and causing people to have yuhurim, whatever. And that's it. I can't take it anymore. So I'm davening to Hashem that He should take away my beauty. My beauty. I don't want to be in mikshel. So Chasam Sofer heard this. He was so impressed. He says, my daughter says, I'm with you. I'm with you on this. Okay, I hear what you're saying, and I'm with you. However, let me give you a bracha. That because you're willing to mevater on your or panim, you know, the light of your face, you're willing to mevater and give it up, Hashem should in turn give you a child who has a lot of light of Torah, and he should be mayor many people. So sure enough, what happened? She was she was pregnant, and she got very sick during her pregnancy, and because of it, it weakened her tremendously, and her good looks went away. She became not good looking anymore because of the sickness that she went through. But because of her bracha, the father, she had a son, and sure enough, he was a big tzaddik, Rabbi Akiva Kornitzer. He's an av based in Krakow, and the big tzaddik came from her. The bracha of their father. So here's an example of a woman runs away from the taivas, runs away from tries to avoid the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Hara of others. We mentioned the Ben Sore or More. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that it's all Shiloh whether Bechlal there was or could be a Ben Soromor, really Lamaisa, halachically. Why? Because there's so many details involved. In order to everything should be fulfilled to be a Ben Soromor, it's quite far-fetched. For example, one of the conditions are, it has to be that the and enu shomea b'kol aviva kol imo, that the voice of the mother and the father have to be the same. They have to be exact same voice. So they say, why is that impossible? Because usually a woman does not have a man's voice. Okay, and if a woman does have a man's voice, that's usually a sign that she's an islandist. A woman that cannot have child. So if she can't have a child, she can't have a Ben Sora Mora. So Mela, it's very, very hard. So Gemara says, if that's the case, then why is the Torah right about it, if it can't be? So Gemara says, Drosh v'kabel schar. So it's a simple pshat meaning, for you to learn, something to learn. So many of Farshim ask, what's that supposed to mean? You know, like there's hardly anything, you know, in the Torah to learn. You know, there's so few things. So, you know, we need whatever we can get. You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's okay. So we're missing the Sugya and Sora Murray and Gwaran Sanhedrin. What? That's it? No, nothing to learn tomorrow. You know, I'm missing the Sugya. And then, you know, with plenty to learn without the Sugya and Ben Sora Murray. So what's Pshat? To Rosh Hashanah's heart, that's why I need it. So they say, one idea is that I'll be drush. The drush v'chabal sar means that there's things you can learn from the parsha, right? Drush, learn into it, and then you'll get all kinds of limudim and messages that will help you, and that's your sar. Drush v'chabal sar. You'll get sar by learning it. For example, Chaim Kanievsky says that, as we mentioned before, that the mother and father have to have the same voice. So that's all peep shot. But I'll pre-drash, I say, meaning it's a lesson in chinuch. If you want to mechanech your children properly, it's very important that the mother and the father say the same thing. You know, the mother tells them one thing, the father tells them another. They get mixed messages. And that's not good chinuch. So the idea of the father and mother voice being the same means that they're on the same page. They teach the son the same way. It's one idea. Another limud is we see from here. Is also similar we spoke about before, and then how a person starts and maybe transgresses something little, and he thinks that's little, but that's it. You know, I'll stop here. I'll just do this one thing, but that's it. I'm not doing anything. But that's not the way it works. Person gives in, you know, is over on one thing, even quote unquote a little thing. One thing leads to the next. It gets worse and worse, and it's downhill from there. And where do we see that from the mentor? What happened? The kid eats. And drinks. Okay, you know, fine. Not good to eat and drink too much. Okay, but that's so terrible. It's okay, it starts with that. One thing leads to the next, like we said. Starts, I need more. Starts stealing his parents' money. Eats away all their money. And then what? Then he still needs more. He goes out the streets. He starts molesting his abrios. Starts robbing from people, killing people. Started from just eating and drinking meat, but doesn't stop there. One thing leads to the next until he's a murderer. So that's the way the time has worked. You think it's one thing, but it doesn't stop there. It keeps rolling. Snowball effect. Magid Midubno says in the pasuk Tumasa Bishuleha Lo Zachra Charisa Veterid Plaim. Says Mashal, explain this as a pasuk. Madavar Domer. He says a guy comes into his friend's house and he sees a beautiful tablecloth and he says, "Oh, I could use a tablecloth like this in my house." So he goes to his local, place where they sell material, whatever. And he says, "You know, I want this material. Do you have it?" He says, "Yeah, we're here." He says, "How much you need?" He cuts him a piece. So he's about to give it to him, and he says, "It's one thing. I don't know if I have to tell you this. Maybe it's self-understood, but you don't just put this tablecloth like this, this piece of material on your table. You have to make sure that you sew the seam around the four sides, because those threads, you know, just freshly cut, and the threads could unravel. So make sure you put a seam on the edge." Okay, sells him the thing, goes home. So he puts it on the table, and it looks very nice. And he says to himself, I don't have to put a seam, sew a seam on here. Why? Because the tablecloth goes to the floor anyways. You don't see the ends. It doesn't look so nice. Who cares? What happens? All of a sudden, little by little, there's no seam, so the threads, start unwinding a little more. Till half the tablecloth is gone. So he takes what's left back to the guy he bought it from. He goes, "Look at this. What kind of material did you send me?" He said, "Did you sew the seam on like I told you?" He goes, "No, I didn't." "Of course you don't sew the seam. I told you that's what's going to happen." It starts off one little thread. Next thread, next thread. Before you know it, the whole thing's gone. So too, says the Magid Midubna, Tumasa Bishuleha. Shuleha is lashon in the Shulayim. Person, the Tuma is in the Shulayim. Right? Person says, it's just little at the end, it's nothing, it's a tiny little area, I'm not hardly doing anything, I'll just do one little thing. Tumata Bishuleha. What happens in the end? Veterid Plaim. Right? It starts that way, but one thing leads to the next until Amarnu, then it's all lost. Say, Rav Shabtai Yudalevich, the following mashal, he says there was once a guy who was top of a 10-story building and he's about to jump. So somebody grabs him. "What are you doing? What are you doing? How can you do that? You're going to kill yourself. You can't. What are you jumping out of the building for?" He goes, It's okay. Don't worry. He says, "I intend only to jump one floor." Doesn't stop at that. One floor. Reminds me of a joke. I don't know if I said it before, but the new faces here. So once a guy was on the 20th floor of a building, whatever, and he decides to jump. So he jumps. He's falling down. He comes about halfway down, and a guy in the building sticks his head out and sees this guy falling down in front of him. He says, "Oh, Rav Moshe, how you doing?" Says, "Bentayim akol beseder. Now everything's okay. Now everything's okay. What? Now." Okay. Next. Torah speaks of the Isser of Shatnez, Lotilba Shatnez. There's an interesting tour. You'll probably wonder what this has to do with anything. Well, you'll see. In the Hilchus Yom Kippur, Simen Tafresh Dalet, has a tour, and he tells a story. Very strange. The Hilchus Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, and the Torah tells us a story, innocent story. What is that? It says there was once a tailor, and he was he wanted to go out and buy something for a suda for Erev Yom Kippur. Fine. So who does he meet in the market? There was a police officer, whatever, of the city's police officer, and he sent a servant of his to buy him a fish in the market. So he's looking all over to buy his fish, looking, can't find it, there's no fish to be had. Finally, finds a fish. And how much is it? One zahuv, one gold piece, whatever, one zahuv. So this yid, the tailor, is there, sees this, and he says, "Hey, I want that fish. I want that fish." He says, "How much is it?" She says, "Well, I'm paying a zuhu for it." He says, I'll pay 5 zuhuvim for it. I just want that fish." He says, 5 zuhuvim? Fine. So he takes it. So the shaliach comes back empty-handed, back to his police officer, and he says, "You get me a fish?" He goes, no fish to be had. I just found one fish, and this guy, offered 5 zuhuvim for it. So, 5 zuhuvim. So he says, "That's very strange." says, can you track this guy down? I want to speak to him. All right, so he goes, finds the yid. He brings him to the police officer. Officer says, tell me something, what do you do? So he says, I'm a tailor. He says, okay. Now, I understand, why would you pay 5 zehuvim for a fish that's only worth 1 zehuv? I don't understand. Why would you do such a thing? And you know, make a point of taking, you know, my servant wanted to get it for me, and you took, no, you want it, and you pay 5 zehuvim. Why? Why is it so important to get this fish? So he says, what's so important about this fish? He says, this is for my suda on Erev Yom Kippur. You know, a day that Kosh Baruch Hu is moichel are for all our sins. He says, I'd be willing to pay 10 zehuvim for a fish for such a day. So the police officer says, yeah, okay, I hear. And he said, fine, and he let him go, and that was the end of that. That's the story the Torah says. So besides, from there we learn Zeminag to have fish on Erev Yom Kippur. But Rabbi Yonasan Ivashitz, he asks, what is the significance of the guy's profession? You know, the Torah makes a story, mentions this, you know, he was a tailor. The police officer asked him, what do you do? He says, I'm a tailor. Why is it so important to mention he's a tailor? He says the following. He says, Yom Kippur, as we know, is a day of Slicha. And it's a day, says the Gemara in Yoma, Daf Kaf, that the Satan has no Shlita. Right? Every day of the year, the Satan is there. So they say, some he doesn't say this, but some others say there's a remez that HaSatan in Gematria is 364. Because the Satan has Shlita 364 days. One day of the year, he has no Shlita. When is that? Yom Kippur. Says Rabbi Yonasan Ivashitz, however, there's one exception to the rule. One, even though on Yom Kippur he usually doesn't have Shlita, but he does have Shlita on somebody that is over on the Isser of Shatnez. Why? Says the hint to it, the Shatnez is the same letters as Satan Az. Right? A strong Satan. Meaning, Satan when it is very strong when it comes to Shatnez. So it comes to everything else, one day of the year he has no Shlita. But when it comes to Shatnez, a person transgresses Shatnez, then the Satan is strong when it comes to Shatnez, and he's Mekatrig even on Yom Kippur. So it's very important, stay away from this. So Mele, he says, that's why the emphasis is made on who this person was. Right? He was a tailor. Meaning, he was a tailor that was very careful, well, that's what he's dealing with, you know, wool, linen, whatever, sewing. So he's very careful in the Isser of Shatnez. But Mele, Dafka him, since he's so careful on Shatnez, that's why Yom Kippur was such a big day of Simcha, as the Torah being says in the, for this guy. Oh, it's such a day, Yom Kippur, Slicha, Mechila, I'll give anything. Why? Because for him, it really was a day of Simcha. Because the day of real Mechila Savonos. Why? Because he is very, very careful in the Isser of Shatnez, so he doesn't have to worry about the Satan on Yom Kippur. So him, it is a very special day. Some Maisa from the Sefer Neslat Sala Shel Yeshivas Mir. Not sure if this was the story took place in Shanghai or not, but it says that one Yom Kippur, the Bachur, you know, davening Beis Medrash, and one Bachur, all of a sudden, he leaves the Beis Medrash in the middle of davening, and strangely enough, he comes back with his weekday clothes on, Yom Kippur. You know, he dressed his Shabbos clothes on Yom Kippur. He left the Beis Medrash, comes back in his weekday clothing, continues davening. Bachur couldn't understand, what's he doing in Yom Kippur yet? So after, didn't want to, you know, get involved with it during the Yom Kippur, Motzi Yom Kippur, they went up to him and says, what did you do? Why would you leak and wear your weekday clothes on Yom Kippur? How could you do such a thing? He says, I'll tell you. I was davening, you know, like everybody, and I found that I might feel this wasn't shkura v'pi, you know, wasn't going. Right? It wasn't fluent. I just couldn't daven. So I thought, I just need a little bit more yisorus. So I took out a sefer musar. I started learning a little bit of musar there, you know, to try to mechazik my, you know, get a little bit. But it didn't help. Just didn't help. This might feel wasn't going. It felt like there was a mechitza. I was like, what is going on here? Why? So then I realized, I remember, that the Svarim bring down, that the Isser of Shatnez is something which holds the tefillah back from being accepted to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Someone who wears Shatnez. So I figured, who knows? Who knows? Maybe my suit has chutneys in it or something. I don't know. That's the source. So that's why I figured I'd give it a shot. Left the Beis Medrash, changed to my weekday clothes, you know, out of these clothes. When I came back in, he said, yeah, a whole different story. All of a sudden, everything opened up, and my davening was a davening. It's unbelievable. So afterwards, he was curious, of course. He gave his suit in to be checked, and sure enough, that chutney said exactly what he thought. They add at the end of the story, though, like a postscript, that he said, well, what was he doing wearing a suit without checking? He said, no, he had given his suit to be checked. He did. He wouldn't wear a suit without being checked. He gave it to be checked, but okay, it happens. The person that checked it was Yir Shemayim, but it happens. Mistake. He overlooked it, and there was a little bit of shyness. He didn't see it. And only the second time was checked, it was found. So he did check it, but the Maisa, it was the Shatnez that interfered his from his tefillas. Okay, it says in the Cedric, when a person builds a bais chadash, v'sisa mach kailo gagecha, we have a mitzvah machad. You have to build a fence around your roof. Lo tasim damim beisecha, so people shouldn't die. Ki yipol anofel mimenu, when somebody falls from the roof. So, this Binyan Ariel, he asks, what's the smichas between this mitzvah to the mitzvah before this the Torah brings out, and that is the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. Shalech Teshalech HaZayim. So what's the connection between sending away the mother bird and taking the eggs and building a makeh, a fence around your roof? So he answers the following. He says, you can ask, why does the Torah really have to give it tzivui to make a fence around the roof? In those days, it's not like our roofs that are hardly used. Oh, in those days, earlier days, a roof was used. They wanted like a room in the house. You know, they used it for many things. So, you know, you have a roof. It's, of course, very dangerous. Naturally, you're going to put something fence around. You're not going to leave it open. Obvious danger, you know. So why do you need a special tzivui, dafka, to put a fence around the roof? So he says, because of Shiluach HaKen. What's the connection? He says, because what does it say about Shiluach HaKen? It says you should send away the bird, whatever, and then the Torah gives you a bracha. So the person who does so, what's his name going to be? Laman yitavlach ve'arachta yamin. What does that mean? That you get a bracha, that you have length of days. Hi, v'meile. A person who does a mitzvah shiluach haken, he can say, I don't have to put a fence on my roof. Why? It's dangerous. What do I have to worry about? I send away the mother bird. V'arach the yamim, length of days. Nothing to worry about. Smichas of the parsha, right? So mele says the Torah, no. Okay, you sent away the bird. Fine. Let's say you'll have length of days, but you're not the only person around. And therefore, that's why the pasuk says, "Why should you put a fence?" Lo tasim dami veisecha ki pol anofel mimenu. It doesn't say you're going to fall down. Somebody, like Rashi says, who's destined to fall, whatever, magalglin the chovali dechayav. But you might not fall, but not everybody is shiluach haken. Somebody else might. They didn't do the mitzvah, and he might fall. So, in order that the prince shouldn't fall from the roof, that's why you have to put. We have the inyan of get in the Sedra, Chasav Lysefer Krisus. So the Pasuk says, beginning of Perakaf Dalad, says, Ki yikach ishishu ba'al vayayim lo sim sachein beinav, ki matza va ervas davar. So the Gemara in Gittin discusses what are grounds for divorce. Right? So Beit Shammai says, what it says, Im lo matzachein beinav means ki matza ervas davar. You find an ervas davar. She is a mizana. Then you should have to divorce her. Says Beis Hillel, no, you don't have to be. You just have to go so far. Afilo hikticha tavshilo. Even if he burnt his dish, it's enough of grounds for divorce. So Shalom Shvadron used to say that there are three types of women. Madayik in the pasuk. In the Chazal. So there are three types of wives. Okay? So one type of wife is, she's making a cholent, let's say, and or stew, you know, during the week. And it burns. Right? But, so what does she do? She goes, oh, burnt. So her husband comes home for dinner, and what does she do? She takes the top off, which is not burnt. You know, the bottom got burnt. She gives to her husband, and the good stuff. And then she keeps the burnt stuff. She eats the burnt thing herself. That's a good wife. Then you have a second type of wife. What does she do? It's, you know, equality. Cut the stew down in the middle. He gets half the good and half the burnt. I'll take half the good and half the burnt. Equality. Second type of wife. And then you get the wife which is not such a good wife. What is that? She says, let him have the burnt stuff. I want the good stuff. She takes the good for herself, gives him the ashes. Come on. That's a bad wife. So Mele says, what's grounds for divorce? Says he's medayik in the lashon of Beis Hillel. He doesn't say that she hikdisha tavshil, or tavshil. It says hikdisha tavshilo. She burns his food, right? What she gives him, it gives him the burnt stuff. Good stuff she gives to herself. That's grounds for divorce. Such a one. Yes, like to conclude with the last vort. Says we have the mitzvah in the parsha of Shichacha. Right, a person harvests his field and he makes bundles and he leaves the Omer Basadeh. He leaves it. So they ask the Chora, this whole mitzvah is always strange. We have a mitzvah, you know, of forgetting. You know, let's say Peah, mitzvah Peah. Okay, you're supposed to leave the corner of your field for the Inim. You can understand that. You know, you're actively saying, no, I'm not going to cut this down. I'm going to, you know, leave it for the Inim. And then you should remember that everything is mine. Hashem gave it to me to use and to give to the poor, etc. You know, it's understood. But what's a pshat? We have a mitzvah. You know, I forgot. You know, I forgot the Omer. Right? I'm not doing anything actively. I forgot. What do you need a mitzvah of forgetting for? So, Chidusha Yedidya Levi, Halevi wants to say the following. Says that there's a big chesed the Kodesh Baruch Hu did for mankind, that he gave him shikacha. So forgetfulness. Although we think, I wish I never forgot, you know. But that's, you know, when it comes to your learning, you wish you never forgot. But there's plenty of things, unfortunately, which it's a bracha, tremendous bracha that a person forgets. You know, bad things happen. And if it wasn't for the person would forget, you'd die of depression, massive depression. You know, all these bad things happen. But, you know, Rosh Hashem, a person forgets, it would be death or things, bad things happen. But time heals, they say. A person forgets. It's a tremendous bracha. If you remember every single thing as if it just happened, good things, fine. But the bad things, like we said, it would cause tremendous depression. So we have a bracha. So Mele, that's the idea, that we have a mitzvah of shichacha. It's a way of thanking Hashem for shichacha. Right? To thank Hashem, you know. Even forgetting is a wonderful thing sometimes. But Hashem, we should remember all the goodness the Kodesh Baruch Hu does for us in all areas. And the bizoicha to the Yikar Bracha of Bias Kol Tzedek, and here of Yemin.